That's not exactly the kind of singing I was brought up on when I first got saved. We were brought up in a country church that used the old Green Stamps Baxter music. But they asked me kind of what kind of preacher I was. I said, I'm kind of a mix. I've been in churches that sing that kind of music, and I like that kind of music. I sing that kind of music. Amen. But I can fit in one where they get in, but they sing that stuff. Amen. They sang that country. They don't sing, they sang. And they just sang it. And they open their mouth, let her fly, and that's the way they sing it. And I can enjoy that. Amen. Matter of fact, in camp meeting, we have some folk that picks banjo and guitar and bass fiddle. Is that a bass fiddle? That big old great big thing? Amen. How come you see groups like that sing? How come it's always a little girl that plays that big old bass fiddle? I don't figure that out. Maybe you got to be a little bitty to play that great big old thing. But anyway, we have that. We have that kind of picking and singing and country singing, and then we have city singing. Amen. And just good singing that honors and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the key. That's the key. A lot of times today, they just take music and they add Jesus' name to it and they call it Christian. And it's the furthest thing from being Christian music. Amen. And so I like good music. We appreciate the singing this week. Amen. We do appreciate all the meals and whatnot that have been supplied each week or each night. And man, we ate on Sunday. We ate again Sunday evening. Amen. And then Monday and Tuesday and then tonight. And there's still stuff back there. I don't know what Miss Barbara's done with it, but it's back there. Amen. If you're hungry after church tonight, I know where it's at. I watched her put it up. And so... if you're hungry, I know where it is. Just ask me and I'll show you. Amen. And there's a chocolate peanut butter pie back there. That's where you were before church. I understand now. Well, just if you missed it, bless your heart because it's gone. Amen. He said that we were supposed to behave tonight, and I ain't seen none of that yet. Amen. Here he had Miss Harvey running back and forth. I don't know where this wise fault of the pastor of this church is stirring this up. I think he's stirring some of this stuff up. Amen. I'm not sure exactly, but I got a sneaking suspicion. Amen. I was preaching in Florida last week, and Brother Terry Boyd, and of course I taught him some country words like unbeknownst. He'd never used that before. Y'all know what that means, unbeknownst to somebody, amen. And yuns, I used yuns one night, and everybody, I saw eyes light up because I was talking their language, amen. And he learned a whole bunch of country words, and I said, I'm going to teach him enough while I'm here that next Sunday, Lord willing, you'll have to have an interpreter to hear him preach, amen. But we praise the Lord for everything God's done in these few days. It's amazing to see how the Lord will work when folk will just open up their heart. Many of you have been here every service, and we appreciate that so very much. Amen. And some of you have been able to bring visitors with you, and we praise the Lord for that. We have to give an award to this couple that's come all the way from Florida. Amen. Amen. That's right. They came a long ways to be in this meeting, and they've been here in every service. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. I told you when I first started out on Sunday, I'd left Florida on Saturday morning. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. It's 77 degrees. The closer I got home, the lower the temperature got. Amen. I got home, but it's about 40 degrees that next morning. I thought, good night, somebody left the heat off. Amen. But we do appreciate being able to be here, and I trust that this week has been a help and a blessing to you. While I'm talking, turn to Romans chapter 5. Amen. Romans chapter number 5. We do appreciate your prayers for Barbara. I mean that with all my heart. And as I mentioned the other day in preaching, I'm praying that God touch her. Now, you ask me in a year or so, and I'll tell you what God does. Now, if He chooses not to do what I want, then that's His business. He's God, and He knows best. But yet at the same time, I know what I'd like to see. And the Lord tells me to come boldly before the throne of grace and to pray, lay my request before the Lord and ask Him and just see what God will do. I remember there's one fellow, I'm trying to remember whether he was lame or whether he was blind. I want to say he was blind. But the Lord asked him, He said, what wilt that I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus just restored his sight. Amen. And so he's able, and I know that. And because I know that, that's why I pray like that. Amen, Lord Dutch. But we do appreciate your prayers and your concern. It means much to us. And let me say this, it has made the difference. Do you know what I mean when I say you feel people's prayers? You understand what I mean by that? You know people are praying because God's presence is very real. And you know folk are praying for you. And we've experienced that in these few months as we faced her deal with the lymphoma. And so you just continue to pray for us and hold us before the Lord, and we'd appreciate it so very much. All righty, trust you found your place. Romans chapter 5, I'll start reading in verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's read through verse 5. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for again another privilege that we have to meet in the house of God and to be with the people of God, Lord, and to hear singing, to hear folks speak of the goodness of God and the blessing of the Lord. Thank you for it. And Lord, for this time we've come now to open the Word of God. And Lord, I trust to hear from you. I'd ask you that you'd bless and help and have your way now in this time. Lord, thank you for what you've done this week. A number of folk have said the Lord's spoken to their heart. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you on last night, the way you worked especially in the hearts of folk who were here. And Lord, I'd ask you again tonight that this message, this time, would be a help and encouragement to your people. Lord, it'd be a blessing to the preacher and his wife. And Lord, to the men, the ladies of this church. Lord, each one, Lord, you know our needs tonight, and I pray that you'd meet those things. Lord, whatever they are, whatever the need is, the depth of it, Lord, I pray that you'd meet it. For we know you're able. Bless now. Help me as I preach and help the folk as they listen. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to bring a message on that there is hope in Jesus. Now, our recent presidential election majored a lot on hope and change. And I'm sure hoping the next time it comes around it changes. Amen. I don't want to get too political here, but I tell you what, it's sure not going the direction everybody thought it was going to go. Right. Amen. And so the idea of hope and change have turned out to be a little empty, hadn't it? Amen. And so, but when we turn to the Word of God, I want to encourage you, there is hope in the Word of God. Amen. There is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when people use the word hope, most of the time, it's kind of a questioning thing. I've mentioned, I think, while I've been here that I've got 9 grandkids, and I hope they come to see me. Now, eventually they will, but there's times when I sure hope they come by. And that has a question to it. They might, and they might not. We may see them, and we may not see them. I don't know. That's just kind of a questioning thing. The hope is something that you're hoping will take place, but you're not sure whether it's going to take place or not. But when the Word of God uses the word hope, it is using a word that has the sense behind it that it's not a doubtful hope, it is an assured hope. It is something that will take place. It's something that will come to pass. Notice with me, just keep your finger there in Romans chapter 5, but look with me, would you please, in the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1. 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, I want to go to verse number 12. 2 Timothy 1:12. Paul speaking here, and he says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Here the Apostle Paul says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that. And because of that, he said in the first part of the verse, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Go back to Romans chapter number 5. Notice it says in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. You see, I'm not going to be disappointed because of my hope in Jesus. Amen. For he will do that he has promised to do. He will accomplish that he has said he will bring to pass. And you, as Daddy said, you can write it on the wall. Now, I don't know what significance that necessarily has to have, but Daddy always said that when he was talking about something, sure. Matter of fact, sometimes, Daddy's just a country fella, And if he wanted to emphasize how true something was, he said, that's the gospel truth. Because he knew the gospel was true, for it's the word of God. And he said, the word of God is true. And so if he was emphasizing some fact or some circumstance that was true, he'd say, that's the gospel truth. And if you please, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is a settled persuasion. It is a settled assurance. It is an anchor for the soul. It will be strength when we need strength. It will be help when we need help. It will be assurance when we need it. It is something that God Almighty has set His seal to that He will bring to pass. And so it's not a doubtful thing or a questionable thing. It's not an iffy thing. No, it's something that we can go to the bank with, if you please. Amen. It's something we can rest our eternal soul on and not be disappointed. Praise God. Now, back in Romans chapter 5, verse number 6 down through verse number 8, let me say first, there's hope for sinners. In verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preadventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is hope for sinners. Now, because of that, I can invite them to the house of God. Amen. Know when they come that the preacher will open the book of God and tell them there's hope. Amen. Amen. Now, understand there's a lot of wickedness going on. You watch it on the news, my soul. There's times I don't like to watch the news. Amen. What's on depresses me. What they're talking about worries me and burdens me, and sometimes it shocks me. And I cannot imagine how anybody would do that, even think of such a thing, much less commit such a thing. And yet they're committing things like that on every hand. But blessed be God, there's hope for folk like that. Amen. They don't have to stay that way. They don't have to continue in that kind of lifestyle. They can come out and be saved, bless God, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Book of Colossians, I want you to see these verses, amen. Matter of fact, I would encourage you to mark these verses because God just may bring somebody across your path that these just might come to your mind, amen, and might be used of you to try to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians, chapter number 2, look with me in verse number 13 and 14. Paul says, "And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." I say there's hope for sinners for sufficiency. Jesus Christ is the sufficient sacrifice for all sin. Every sin, all sin, Jesus Christ died to pay for it. Amen. And his blood is able to wash it clean. Just like Brother Larry said a while ago, we're washed. Amen. In the preaching the other day, but such were some of you, but you washed. Amen. You're sanctified. God saves sinners. And I'm glad that's the message that we need to ring out today, for that's the only hope for this land. That's the only hope for people across this land. That's the only hope for the world, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save sinners. For I remind you, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." So there's hope for sinners when it comes to sufficiency of the Savior. There's no sin too deep. There's no sin so far, that the blood of my Savior cannot wash it away. Oh, what song was it that Lester Olof used to sing? Oh, deeper than the stain is gone. My goodness, that's an old one, but I don't know where he found it at, but he fished it out in an old book someplace. He used to sing it. Matter of fact, that was one of the songs on the old red record. That was one put out away back yonder, amen, of him and some of the men of his church singing. It might have been some of the boys in one of the homes, I'm not sure, but they sang. And one of those songs was deeper than the stain is gone. Hallelujah to God. No matter how deep a man gets in sin, if he'll honestly, sincerely come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ can wash his sin away. And that's an assurance of the gospel that I can share to everybody. Amen. He is sufficient. He was sufficient for your sin. Aren't you glad? Amen. He was sufficient for mine. Hallelujah to it. But notice with me in John's Gospel, chapter number 5. John chapter number 5. Not only for sufficiency and for forgiveness, but in John's chapter number 5, we see that it's forever. Amen. This hope for sinners can be an everlasting hope. Amen. Notice in John chapter 5, notice verse 24. John 5 and verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Notice chapter number 6 and verse number 40, Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Notice verse 47, the same chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Notice verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. It sounds like once you get saved, bless God, you stay saved. Amen. Notice with me in chapter number, chapter 11. Yeah, chapter 11 and verse number 25. Chapter 11 of John and verse number 25. Love these verses, amen. Jesus is talking to Martha in this particular place. Lazarus, their brother, has died. They've seen the Lord. He's come. Martha ran out to meet him, said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. And eventually she calls Mary. She tells the Lord the same thing. But it's interesting what Jesus tells to Martha in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? My answer to that is, yes, Lord, I believe that. Amen. But we see the rapture there. You say, how in this world? He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's those dead in Christ one day that he's going to raise up. Notice verse 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth, and we that are alive shall be changed. Amen. In me shall never die. That gives me the prospect, child of God. That gives us the prospect tonight that if Jesus Christ should come tonight for his church, we'd never see death. Now, I don't know about you. That excites me just a little bit. Amen. I preach funerals over a lot of folk. I mentioned that the other day. They've grown dear to me. Folk that have, as close to me as my own family in the work of the Lord and say the final words over that old cold body and put them in the ground, amen? I'm looking for the day when, oh, my soul. The other day, read it in the paper. The fella, the preacher that led me to Jesus Christ has passed on heaven's side now. Read the obituary in the paper from the Chattanooga paper. Today, I got an email from my sister, my little sister, amen? I'm 8 years older than my little sister. And I got an email from Annette, and the grandson of the preacher who led me to Jesus sent her an email and said, please forward that on to Steve. And he was looking in his pawpaw's Bible, the one he preached out of until his health would no longer let him minister the Word of God. He carried it and read from it till the day he died. He said in the front of that was a note from 1967, and it said, Brother Cooney, thank you for leading me to Christ. Steve Freeman, 1967. That blessed my heart all over again. I'd be preaching someplace off down in North Georgia. I remember one time in particular, Barbara and I were eating at this restaurant in between services, and she said, isn't that Brother Cooney? And I looked over across the dining room, and there he sat with his wife. And I said, yes, that is. You know what I did? I hid my face and snuck out. Believe it or not, I got up and I went over to their table and I said, preacher! And he said, Steve, and we hugged right there in the middle of that big old crowded restaurant. I hugged her neck and he hugged his neck, and we just had a good time, amen. And I went back to the table and I said, thank God for that man. Why? He did not save me, but he introduced me to the one that could, amen. That person's always special. Thank God when you get saved, it's forever and forever and forever and forever. I like what one songwriter said, forever and a day, amen. It's just life for all eternity, blessed be God. Salvation lasts forever. You're only born once into the family of God. Amen. Just like this life, you're born one time. Like an old preacher said, born once, die twice. Amen. Born twice, die once. Amen. And the prospect of not even dying sounds pretty good to me. Amen. Oh, Lord, hasten the day. Look with me in the book of 1 John. There's hope for sinners. Don't ever give up on that lost loved one. Don't ever give up on that wayward son or daughter. Don't ever give up on that neighbor, that person that maybe has turned you down time and time and time and time again and saying, I don't have time for that. There's hope for sinners. You just keep feeding them the gospel. You keep sharing the gospel. You keep opening the book and say, look at what God says. And there could very well come a day that you'll be the one to see them birthed into the family of God. You just keep the gospel out there, bless God. It'll bear fruit. It'll bear fruit. Now, 1 John chapter 3, there's not a hope for sinners, but there's hope for saints. Aren't you glad? Amen. 1 John chapter number 3. Notice with me in verse 1. Love these verses. I have to confess, I say that a lot about the Bible. Amen. It's not said lightly, because this book, the older I get, the more precious this book becomes to me. Amen. Verse number 1 of 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Let me just stop and say, now are we the sons of God. I'm not waiting to be saved. I am saved now. I'm not waiting to become a son of God. I am a son of God now by the new birth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. There's hope for saints. Now, I pastored many more years than I've been in evangelism. And so I understand the burden and the load and the work of a pastor. I understand it. Matter of fact, when I resigned the Calvary Baptist Church in Winchester, I assumed that I would go into another pastor someplace. Matter of fact, I resigned on Sunday evening. Wednesday night of that very same week, I was in Orangeburg, South Carolina, preaching at a church that was considering me as a pastor. I hadn't really planned it that way. It just worked out like that. Amen. Matter of fact, that's a part of South Carolina. We was talking about Southern accents before service, Miss Geneva. We was talking about that and laughing about it. Over there, they talk like this. And that's the people we stayed with. Amen. We stayed in their home. We ate breakfast. We ate lunch. We ate supper with him. And they said, pass that down salt over here. And I passed them the salt, bless the Lord. I can understand them, bless the Lord. Amen. And on the way home, we laughed about that and said, boy, that's a different kind of accent. And on the way home, I said, you know, Barbara, I think I could talk like that after a while if I've been there for long enough. Amen. And she said, you know, oh, don't talk like that. I said, why not? I said, the Lord may send us up there, and we have to learn to talk like that because they understand how about preaching. Amen. And, and I said, that just kind of fits my tongue. Amen. It's some kind of island dialect in that part of South Carolina. I couldn't explain it, but there was some island, and they talked that away, and it just bled over on the mainland. Amen. You say, preacher, nobody else talks like that. We had a missionary. His name was Lewis Guthrie. He came to our church for support. He was going to Papua New Guinea. And when I first met Brother Lewis Guthrie, he said, I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to start a church, and it's going to have a nana leaf roof. And I thought, where are you from? Amen. Come find out he's from that area of South Carolina. They all talk like that. Amen. So I understand the burden and the load of the pastor. Amen. And so I assume when I resigned the church, I would be someplace else pastoring. I just figured that's what God had for me. Amen. I kind of got an idea, Brother Larry, when he left his position and launched out, that he just assumed God would. But Lord, in his time, brother, it just takes time sometimes. Amen. And so I couldn't get any peace. And so I said, no, I can't pastor. I called the folks, said, no, can't come. Can't come. Deacon said, would you really consider it? Said, we'd have voted Wednesday night if you'd have took it. Amen. I said, no, you're desperate, and I'm not that desperate. Amen. But no peace. And so you got to have the peace of God. Don't follow your heart. Follow the peace of God. Amen. That comes from the book of God. But anyway, another church talked to me, and I was recommended to several others, but the Lord just gave no direction in any of those places. So I said, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And he began to work on my mind about evangelistic work. And, of course, you see, that's where I'm at now. Amen. But knowing the burden of the pastor, I know what it is to have folk in your church, and you work with them, 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 and you get them to a place that they really begin to take off for the Lord. About that time, they go off and left field over here someplace and do something goofy. And you want to go over there and You want to go over and slap the devil out of them. Amen. Why? Because they ought to know better than that. You've taught them better than that. They've learned better. They can tell you better than that. But then they go over here and do it anyway. You know why? Because our flesh is flesh. And if we yield to the flesh, we're apt to do anything. Amen. That's just the truth. Because the old you is still alive and well in there. And depending on who you yield to, that's the way you're going to go. Amen. That's why we got to walk in the Spirit. Amen. We've got to walk after the things of God. We've got to be in the book of God. But I've seen those same individuals get way over there in the ditch on this side, and God work a work in their heart and bring them back to a place. I was preaching one time in a preacher's fellowship, and I say, if you stay around a place long enough, you'll see folk get in, get out, and by God's grace, get back in. Amen. And I had a preacher said, boy, I'd like to stay at a place long enough to saw that. Amen. I got to see it. Amen. And the Lord allowed me to see those kind of things in the lives of individuals. You see, there's hope for saints. Just because somebody gets right with God and don't immediately lockstep in where they ought to be, pray for them, hold them up before God, teach them from the Word of God, have patience with them, because you weren't what you're supposed to be when God found you. He had to work with you, didn't he? Amen. And if you're like me, he had a lot of raw material he had to work with. He had to get rid of some stuff. Amen. A lot of rough edges. A lot of rough places where the shine had come off and the Lord had to work and buff it back up again, get it where it ought to be. Amen. He worked with you and he can work with these others too. Amen. So there's hope for saints. There's hope for saints. Oh, they may not be doing what they're supposed to be doing today, but don't give up on saints. There's hope for the people of God. There's going to come a day we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. But until then, we're with forbearance to hold one another up, amen, before the Lord, and to pray and encourage and correct sometimes, sure, and exhort sometimes, but yet draw them closer best you can to the Lord Jesus. I was using an example one time talking about pushing folk closer to God. And I said, if you try to do that, you'll wind up being closer to God yourself. Because you get a hold of somebody and you're pushing them close to Jesus, then in the very action of doing that, you're getting closer to Jesus too. Amen. Sad to say, most of the time we're pushing folk away. They don't dress like we want them to, or they won't talk like we want them to, and then we just shoot them. I heard a preacher say one time, we're the only army in the world shoots or wounded. And there's a whole lot of truth to that. Amen. Oh, don't give up on God's people. Don't give up on God's people. I know some folk get out and get sour and get crossways with the will of God, but don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. Hold them before God. Hold them up before God and do your best to restore them as a brother in Christ. Amen. There's hope for maturity. There's hope for deliverance. Back in Romans chapter 5, notice verse number 8 and 9. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I don't have to go through tribulation. That's what that verse speaks to me. I don't have to face those days. Now, we may have to go through some trouble before the rapture takes place, sure. And I'm not talking about mid-tribulation, amen. Don't get the wrong idea. I am pre-tribulation. I think before that great tribulation falls on the earth, we're gone, we're out. Praise God, amen. But that doesn't mean we have to might have to go through some fire before Jesus comes and calls us out of here, amen. I've said it this way many times. The church was birthed in the fire. And it makes sense to me we may go out in the fire, amen, of persecution. It may be nearer to our door than what we think. Amen. Turn with me one other place while I'm looking at this hope for saints. In the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. There's not only hope for maturity and deliverance. There's hope for supply. Thank God for that. Ephesians chapter number 3. Notice with me in verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory by the church, by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. And Paul couldn't stand it anymore. He said, amen. Amen, he said. Notice, he said that the one that we serve, the Lord Jesus Christ, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, being the country boy I am, I have got a very vivid imagination. And there's times that I do not claim one iota to have a corner on prayer. But I have learned through the years of my Christian life that the more direct I am in my praying, the more direct answers I see. Amen. Now, I could pray generally, God bless all the missionaries. How many times you heard that prayed? God bless all the missionaries. God bless all the good preachers. God bless all the good churches. You never know whether God answered your prayer or not. But when you say, God, what's one of your missionaries? Name me one of your missionaries. Charlie Nichols. I remember Charlie Nichols. Amen. Bless the Lord. Charlie, bless God. Amen. And you're praying, and God brings Charles Nichols to your mind. And you go back by here, and you read his prayer letter. And he says, I need you to help us pray about this. And you go home and you say, Lord, Brother Charlie asked us to pray about this. God, would you answer that prayer? God, would you meet that need? God, would you save that fella? God, would you work in that person's heart? And then the next letter comes in and he says, praise the Lord. God answered that prayer. Then you can read that letter and say, God answered my prayer. Amen. You see, when you pray definitely, directly for things, then you see God perform direct answers. Amen. You know what that makes me want to do? Makes me want to pray more. Makes me want to pray again. Amen. You pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and you just don't feel like God's answering your prayer. The devil will say, there's no use. But if you ask for direct things, definite things, and you see God answer those definite things, then the devil comes and says, there's no need to pray. You can tell him he's the liar that he is. Amen. And say, God does answer prayer because he's answered mine. So there is a hope for the saints of God for supply. Let me say this and I'll go on. What do you need in your life? Now, I'm not talking about naming it and claiming it. I'm not talking about that. If that were the way it was, we'd all ask for Cadillacs. Amen? Well, I don't know. That's a GM product, isn't it? Governmental Motors. I'm not sure. We'd all ask for Fords. Amen. No, I don't know about that. That's fix or repair daily. I'm not sure about that either. Amen. Maybe I ought to ask for Nissan. No, that's foreign made. Oh, I don't know. Oh, we're just in a pickle, aren't we? Amen. But I'm not talking about that kind of thing. Now, if you need a car, pray about a car. God's just as able to answer that as he is anything else. Amen. But I'm not talking about, amen. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not talking about just praying and asking. How many times have you sent off the Reader's Digest sweepstakes in the mail? I've done it. I confess. Amen. I probably spent that much money in postage over the years. Not all, you know, sending off that. And without fail, I said, no, Lord. You say, I'm confessing tonight. Amen. Lord, bless this. And Lord, if you let me win it, I'll tithe, you know, and all this stuff. And you know how we are. You know how we are. You know what? God's never answered that prayer yet. I've quit sending them in, amen. I just have. I've quit sending them in, amen. I've found something better. I've said, Lord, we need this. And I've seen God answer that prayer. You know why? Because God gets glory out of it, amen. God gets glory. Child of God, don't give up on your needs. Bring them to the throne of grace, for God's able to supply. Look with him one other place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is rightly called a resurrection chapter. There have been many times, I mentioned before, I've done a lot of funerals through the years being a pastor. And without fail, eventually, a lot of times at the graveside, I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, bring in around verse number 51 and down, and to encourage the family, and especially when the one that's died is a child of God. That's where our hope's at, amen. But I want you to notice, just in particular, verse number 58, and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's hope for sinners, there's hope for saints, and praise God, there's hope for servants. When you are doing the will of God in your life, when you are doing that God has burdened your heart to do, if it's teaching a class, if it's being a preacher, if it's whatever it is, this is what God has burdened your heart and you're working at it, then the Bible says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's hope for servants. You know, sometimes when you serve God and you live for God and you're working for the Lord, whether it be preaching or teaching a class or a regular person out on visitation trying to bring folk into the house of God, whatever it is that you're doing, sometimes you get the idea that, man, you're spinning your wheels, you're kicking up a lot of dust, but you're not getting anything done. There's just nothing seems to be accomplished. You preach and you preach and you preach and nothing happens. You teach and you teach and you teach and the kids don't seem to be listening. You work in the junior church and it looks like some days they have it and then the next week they act like they never heard anything about the Lord or the Bible or the church or anything. Amen. It just seems like that whole week they've done a brainwash. It's all gone. You got to start all from scratch. But listen to me. You handle the Word of God and you preach or teach or whatever you're doing for Jesus Christ's sake. You're glorifying, honoring Him. You're doing it for the Lord. Amen. You're doing it for, you're not doing it for mankind. You're not doing it to impress anybody. You're not doing it for a show. You're doing it because you love Him and He's told you to do it. And you're just doing it. Amen. He says, you do it. And He says, your labor's not going to be in vain. God's going to accomplish something through it. I can't tell you what. But you just think, you think with me. That little girl, that little boy in the Sunday school class, there may come a day that God calls them to preach. In July of 1964, Brother P.J. Cooney came by the hospital room where I was a patient. I had an appendix had ruptured. They'd done surgery. And Mom and Dad done gone home. The visiting hours is over. And I guess he was heading for the elevator. But the fella is a double occupancy room, and the guy next to the door saw him go by, and he hollered, "Hey, preacher!" And he turned around and came back in the room, and he had used to been his pastor years ago. And they just had a reunion there in the hospital room. Brother Cooney and this man, I don't even remember the man's name. But he's in the same room in the hospital when I was in that room. And he and Brother Cooney talked for, seemed like a long time, but probably just a few minutes, you know how it is. And they talked and they talked. And then I heard the preacher say, "Well, I'm going to have to go, but I want to talk to this young man over in the next bed before I go." That young man was me. And he came over and he talked to me, introduced himself, began to talk to him about the Lord. He said, "Steve, are you saved?" And I said, "No, sir, I'm not. But God had been working in my heart." He said, "Would you like to be?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I would." And he opened the Word of God and he showed me out of this book what Jesus had done for me. And he prayed and he said, "Steve, we're going to pray." And he started praying. I didn't know how to pray. We didn't go to church. Only praying I ever done in my life is when we stood at dinner time and we all said in unison in the fifth grade class, "God is great, God is good. Let Him thank us for our food. By His hand we are fed. Thank you, God, for daily bread." That's the only praying I knew anything about. Other than hearing somebody pray at a football game, which is sad to say coming few and far between today, but we used to do that, amen. And any public gathering, you always open it with prayer. That's the only kind of praying I knew, and I knew I didn't know how to do any of that. Because I didn't know the these and the thous and thou arts and they're all. I didn't know those things. I didn't know God. I couldn't call Him Father. But the preacher started praying, and as he prayed, I just lay there in the bed. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to say it. I just know I needed to be saved. And he got to a place in his prayer, and he said, "Now, Lord, we want you to save Steve." And not even with my lips, but in my heart, I said, "Yes, Lord." Guess what happened? He heard that. And he answered that. And he saved this old sinner that's on his way to hell. Amen. He answered that. And I'll guarantee you, Brother Cooney said, "Well, this young man got saved." Amen. Later went to his church. He baptized me in an old coldest creek in Catoosa County. I'll guarantee you. Amen. I come up icicles hanging on your earlobes, buddy, in the middle of August, but buddy, was it cold. Amen. Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. And had a new converts class, and we learned the books of the Bible. How elementary can you get? I didn't know where they were. We learned the books of the Bible, and we learned some verses. Just simple stuff, simple stuff. Had Brother Cooney known when he led me to Christ that there was going to come a day God would call me to preach, he might have had a spell in that hospital room. Amen. You see, you never know. You never know what God's going to do with somebody that you win to Jesus. Amen. And you may win some little old kid that don't even have his shoes on the right feet. Amen. And you think, what can he do? when he grows up, God can do mighty things with that young man. Amen. You just never know. You see, your labor's not in vain. You may not think you're accomplishing much, but blessed be God, you serve in Christ. That seed will bear fruit. It will bring growth. Amen. You just keep sowing. You just keep sowing. You just keep sowing. Why? There's hope for servants. That's why. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to bless you.